This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our mind and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire and in hope. With love for you. Amen. Please be seated. You may recall a story that I told quite a while ago now. It was when Marty was on sabbatical, and it was about Lucia. I had changed her name to protect her anonymity, and it told of her being lost and found. The gospel that day was Jesus and the lost sheep. And I thought of her as I was preparing for today because our readings are all about hope against hope and renewing faith. With Abraham, with Paul talking about Abraham, and certainly our gospel today. And so I reached out to Lucia, and she's doing very well. And she told me that she had left a few things out of her story. And so she sent me a new one with the revisions, and so I read you now what she sent to me. She entitled it, Hoping Against Hope, A Holy Moment. On a late September day, some years ago, my mother said to me as she left for her home, don't lose hope. I was 2 weeks out of the hospital for alcohol treatment, convalescing at my house with her. Well, she left. And a short 2 months later, the moment came. I lost hope. I lost hope, sure that I would die of loneliness, and I despaired in extreme isolation in a big city with a high-profile government job. So I took a leave of absence. I was happy that I lived alone, and I drew the blinds. I descended into another drinking binge from dawn to midnight for 12 days. During my descent, she wrote, I kept listening to the song Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. It had been on my playlist for some years. I sang some of the lyrics again and again in my mind. One was, and I don't want the world to see me because I don't think they'd understand. Another one was, when everything is made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am. Mine was a life lost, yet to be lived. A man who I had met recently and very much wanted to know better was now not in the realm of possibility in my present state, or so I thought. I just no longer wanted to bleed, to know that I was alive. I was dying inside. The 10th morning into the binge, as I regained a semblance of consciousness in my stupor, rays of sunlight beamed through the drawn blinds of my bedroom window right on my face. Not opening my eyes, yet seeing that orange glow of light, I lamented that I was still in the world. The 11th morning, the same rays, the 12th, the same rays in that perfect angle, beckoning my eyelids to open, wake up. Later that day, I surrendered and gave up my hope to die. I now hope to live. I ceased the alcohol and prayed for deliverance into a rehab facility. I had no strength, and I was sicker than a dog with withdrawal symptoms, not realizing that I could have died without help in detox facility. Legs still wobbly, still breathing fire with bouts of dry heaves and no sleep for 3 days. I managed to get on an airplane and made it to that facility. Something carried me just enough, minute by minute, hour by hour, to get me there. The presence, now some 1,200 days later in sobriety, and after a wonderful year of marriage, that same man I mentioned knows who I am. Thanks be to God, by your grace, go I. What shifted for her that 12th day? What was that thread of hope that awakened her and then kept her going? Paul helps us out here in his writing about Abraham that we heard in his letter to the Romans. He wrote, "In the presence of the God in whom Abraham believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist, hoping against hope, Abraham believed that he would become what God told him he would become, and he did." Hoping against hope, following the call to follow in the way of God. 2,000 years before Jesus walked the earth, Abram and Sarai totally surrendered to God and were transformed. Brian McLaren reminds us, and I quote, that they had no scripture, they had no temple, no laws, no doctrines, no clergy, no atonement theories, no concept of heaven, no concept of hell, no vestments, no sacraments, no creed, no baptism, and no name for a religion. And I'll add, they had absolutely no clue where they were going. They were pulled by something, led by something greater than themselves, ventured out in faith without even knowing their destination, hoping against hope, as Paul tells it. Something was pulling them and pulls us every day. And Jesus Christ says to his disciples in today's gospel, and he says to us, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their lives will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life?" This is our call every day, my friends. Lucia said she finally surrendered, hoping against hope. She chose to lose the way that she was running her life, and she decided to live, to reach out. The Lord called Abraham and Sarah to follow, and hoping against hope, they did. The Lord called Paul, as you recall. He was a terrible person and the name of Saul. The Lord reached out to him, and he was blinded by the light and was converted. And Jesus Christ calls us to deny ourselves and take up our crosses and follow him. Hoping against hope is something we do when all seems beyond hope. That's how the saying started. We think something is beyond our capabilities. When we need something greater than our limited hope, we hope against hope in a faith, no matter what we call it. Many examples come to mind. Scientists persevering in developing a vaccine for COVID. They are pulled by something. And scientists, astrophysicists, rocket scientists, persevering in landing a craft on the moon and now on Mars. We hope against hope that we will be able to avert our climate emergency and truly care for this planet. Jennifer Power, the young mother in our congregation that we all have been praying for, along with her husband Jeff and daughter and son, encouraged by our prayers and the bonds of her family, hoped against hope that her daughter and her husband would heal from their agonizing injuries following their car crash. She and her whole family surrendered in hope and the healing power of Christ, and they are progressing beautifully. Hoping against hope, parents continue to pray and agonize and set loving and clear boundaries for their child who has lost their way. Hoping against hope, Eugene Goodman, the Capitol Police officer, single-handedly and so courageously led that rioting mob away from the Senate floor, averting what's probably going to be many more deaths. Hoping against hope, people report rescuing people, jumping onto subway tracks, going into a fire to pull somebody out. Something pulls them. Jarvis Masters, depicted in a book I just finished that I can highly recommend called The Buddhist on Death Row, remarkably keeps hope and helps other prisoners in San Quentin to this day. He believes and teaches, even from death row, of the one God who loves us all. Bill Wilson, the co-founder of AA, thought he was utterly hopeless, and he cried out, screaming, "If you are there, God, save me now." And a blinding light saved him, even though he thought he was without hope. That very cry, heard down through the ages in a zillion examples, is hope. Hope in something greater than us. And when we cry out, not knowing if there will ever be an answer, rest assured, cry out anyway, even in doubt. Say, "God, if you're there, show me," and then watch, because you'll be shown. May not be the answer you're expecting, and most likely not in the timing. I know that's been the case for me. But we watch for it. We can keep asking, keep crying out to God. Join with others who may be going through the same thing, or seek out a counselor or a friend. You'll know. So why bother? Why bother? When you say, when you hear the words, "take up your cross and follow me," most people think it means, you know, take up your burdens, take up your troubles, put them on your back, you're going to go along. But I always wondered, and I think we have to ponder, why wouldn't Jesus just say, "leave your cross and follow me," if he's going to be with us? Why do we have to take it along? Doesn't seem like good news, perhaps. What it really means to be a Christian? The Reverend Lindy Black says, "You don't have to look for ways to carry the cross. Just choose love, truth, justice, compassion, and suffering will come." That's why we bother. We bother for justice and truth and love and that peace that passes understanding deep within us. And something pulls us there. That still small voice that tells us the fruits of the Spirit are present. Now, we can choose a life of misery if we want. It's always an option. Just remember, Jesus doesn't say, "just take up your cross." It's, "and follow me." And that may come through help found in other people if you don't know the way. He'll be with us. And yep, this path is difficult at times and does take hope against hope. And the way of Jesus Christ comes to us in mysterious ways. And it takes a willingness to surrender to our very vulnerability and to embrace the dependence on the one true God. After my precious Katie died, some 18 years ago now, it's hard to believe it's been that long, besides trying to remember just how to breathe, all I wanted to do was be at the ocean, or in my backyard in the dirt, planting or weeding or watering. That's all I wanted to do, and I didn't know why. But I do now. Hoping against hope, I was embracing the call to follow God's constant pull toward life bonding with his beautiful creation. It's like in Fundamentals of Nursing that I learned that the body and our psyches and our emotions have a natural propensity toward homeostasis. I never forgot that from my classes. We have a natural propensity toward homeostasis. Something else pulls us, and it's in union with all of creation, toward healing that we just can't imagine. It's that pull that interests me, haunts me, really. That pull, which is hope against hope, and leads to renewing of our faith deeper and deeper. And it's this promise that God reaching out to us sustains our relationship with Him. That's the message of the whole gospel and the whole Bible, really, is God's love story for us and for us to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. And it's the same pull that, quote, moves the sun and the other stars, as Dante wrote. It is all one and the same stream of love. There is a life force way beyond our understanding that pulled me to creation's cycle of life and death and life again. That's what I was longing for. And that's what Lucia was longing for, though she didn't know it either. And remember, she wrote, "And something carried me." She shared just enough, minute by minute, hour by hour, to get me there. The presence. And this force of Jesus carries us when we don't think we can even put one foot in front of the other sometimes. Carries us. I've used this quote many times, but it's worth repeating, by Frederick Buechner. It fits beautifully here. A Christian is one who points at Christ and says, "I can't prove a thing, but there's something about his eyes and his voice. There's something about the way he carries his head, his hand, his cross, the way he carries me." May our hope against hope continue to renew our faith and transform us and transform the world. And in closing, I use this short little prayer that's at the end of morning prayer. If those of you that join in morning prayer in the mornings will recognize it, it's from Ephesians. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to Him from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.